This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Okay, Pat, we don't do a lot of previews here because it's, you know, it's podcast world, and sometimes previews can be outdated. But just, you know, the Wolves play the Sixers tonight. They're coming off three straight road wins on the West Coast, including a back-to-back. I told Kyle Tige, my Flagrant Howls co-host, and these guys, I am out of the Wolves prediction business this season. This team is, if they could lose five games to the Pistons, just as easily as they could beat the Sixers by 20 points at home tonight. No idea.
I am up on the on the NBA this year because it is more unpredictable than it has been in years, in my opinion, and especially in the West. But yes, it is frustrating when you tank one at home to Charlotte, and then you could go out and see the way they played on the road. After losing to a Golden State team that tried to give them the win, and then they win the next three out there, so they are totally unpredictable. And here's what's astounding: I was exchanging texts this morning with a prominent local journalist about how the whole cat thing is just sailing right along. We're just like, it's just not a, if people just have forgotten, it's not an issue really right now. So, and the way Nas is playing, it is true. Who cares? But Jen and I were talking about this yesterday. Rudy is not good for Ant's game because Rudy brings the defense into the lane, and it's taken away Edwards' offense hasn't been real great lately. And I think him not being able to get to the basket because Rudy's clogging up the lane has something to do with that. They're trying to move Rudy out of there more, but I don't know. That's part of the erratic nature of this team is, who's going to make the shots for him.
Well, and then you have it is working, generally the last few games, but you've got Conley and Kyle Anderson mesh really well with Rudy.
Mm-hmm.
But Anthony Edwards seems to operate better sort of as a point guard.
Yes.
Or at least a ball handler initiating offense. You've got these, you're trying to figure out how these pieces fit together. And I don't know if they do long term, but they are winning games right now.
Yeah, and you are doing it on the fly. You're trying to figure out how to do this on the fly. And this is about the third or fourth transition of what you're trying to do, too. So it hasn't been easy for Finchie. That is for sure. Because, okay, you had D'Lo. So what are we going to do? How are we going to get the ball out of his hands and still make him valuable? And then you got rid of him. And if he'd stayed, he's hurt anyway. So he wouldn't be playing. Connolly, they got Connolly to make Rudy better. But he makes Ant worse offensively. So it's a quandary at all times. But one thing about Edwards is I don't think he lets it bother him, and he keeps competing, but you got to have a situation where he can get to the basket. Cause he's one of the great drivers I've ever seen. He never runs over anybody. He can go to that left hand. Like it's a, he's ambidextrous going to the basket. And that's got to be available to him, and I don't know how you make it available to him, but that has to be available to him.
So, Patrick, if all this stuff starts to figure itself out, and it looks like at least some of this has, my question is this: how the hell do you, if and when Cat comes back, what do you do? Like, I mean, he's a great player when he's playing; he can play, but like, what's the? This has taken so long now to get into a sink and into something that looks like it might actually work. What's the step of Cat?
I don't have any idea. Phil just said he's out of the Wolf's prediction business. I'm out of the Cat prediction business. I have no idea what the hell is going on with this guy. All I know is you can't tell us he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks, and 3 months later he hasn't played a game. So there's, you know, he has missed 45 consecutive games, and there's no indication that he's going to play another one anytime soon. But then again, who knows? Maybe he'll pop up and play sometime in the next week.
So. Yeah, well, I don't know. This is just me sleuthing around on Instagram, but I saw our guy Jeff Municki, who's now the vice president of fan experience. Been with the Wolves for 30 years. And apparently some family of Marvin Harve was at the practice facility, some descendants, or I don't know if it was like a daughter and some like a great grandkid. And they were at the practice facility kind of just touring around. And there was a photo he posted of Karl-Anthony Towns in practice gear, no leg brace or anything. So he is like, they had some sort of light practice or workout yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he was involved, but he was definitely around and dressed for it. So
we'll
see.
That's that. It has gotten so quiet. Don't you think he's getting ready to play here in a game or two? Don't you think? I mean, it's so quiet that
it was initially going to be like a 6-week thing, and then later on they said it was actually a grade three. The mystery has risen to the level now where I was listening through Bill Simmons and Ryan Russillo yesterday on their podcast, and like an hour into it, even they brought up like, what where's Kat? What's happening? Why has there been like no information on his whereabouts? What's happening?
In modern sports, so it seems like as these things go quieter, then they kind of surprise you. And I think he's going to play here in a week. But before the Marvin Harve relatives spotted him, they aren't telling you anything, so they don't want to get the anticipation up, right? In case he decides he can't play anymore, but I got a hunch he's going to play. But what is he going to play? He comes back, he's going to play 10 minutes, right? 8 minutes. And he's going to be he'll play behind Nas. He'll play behind Rudy.
He'll come off the bench to start with?
Oh, heavens yes, I would think. Because, unless, how they've been practicing, people haven't seen him much at practice, so they haven't even been practicing together. And the team is somewhat new since he got hurt. Hey, hell, we were all younger when he got, when he last played. We were all
feeling better. Those were the days, weren't they?
Yeah.
Studebaker was the big car.
It was great. It was great. Yeah, I remember that Dodge Colt they had when he stopped playing. That was a hell of a car.
But what is amazing to Judd's question, and I don't know what the hell is going to happen these last 18 games or whatever, zero clue. But you have a third team all NBA, 40% career 3-point shooting unicorn that you're about to plot back on this team, and it could either blast the Wolves off to where they get to this new level and Mike Conley is able to get everything to fit perfectly together and they make room for Anthony Edwards and you're adding this incredible piece to something that's going in the right direction, or it could just make everything clunkier and derail you and you lose 6 straight games. And I have no idea which path it's going to go.
Yeah. I don't have any. And he's a fascinating athlete in this market because his 3 years with our guy Tibbs, right?
Yeah.
209 games counting the playoff they were in. He played 209. He played them all.
Yeah.
Now, I suppose people could say that's why he strained his calf 4 years later or something like that. And he always has said the right thing about Minnesota. It's never like, I want to get out of here. He's always said, I like it here. He's always said that. Even though we all get the impression in our heart, he'd love to be out of here and in a big market. But he never said that. He's never really gave us that hint, but now he's never been, there's always been a skepticism about him, I think, even with the people who wanted to be a fan of his. And now, of course, that skepticism has soared to new heights because he hasn't played in 3 months.
But it's got to be kind of nice. I mean, think about it. I'm not trying to mock him here, but if you're him and you go out and derail 3 playoff games with your petulant behavior and your dumb fouls, and you're mysteriously just out for like 3.5 months with a calf injury, and no one really outside of maybe a couple people here and there, maybe our show or whatever, you don't really get that much heat for any of it. No one's really probing. So you can kind of just lay low.
If the first time he gets off the bench and comes into a game, if it's at home, there's going to be a roaring ovation from 17,000 people.
By the way, your guy Tibbs, the Knicks have won 9 straight games.
9 in a row.
They're now the 5 seed in the Eastern Conference, 12 games over 500.
And the Cavs, unfortunately for them, if it stays the same, they'll have to play the Cavs in the first round, and the Cavs are good. So it would be tough for them. But did you see the one they pulled out with Julius Randle?
Yeah.
At Miami?
Mm-hmm.
He's getting – the ball's bouncing around. He's getting double-teamed over there. He's on the sideline. He goes up and throws up this three. Whoosh.
Yes.
And Tibbs, there was a big wild ass celebration on the sideline, and Tibbs got knocked down in joy. Did you see that?
I missed that part.
It was great.
He looks about 10 years younger than he did with the Timberwolves. Yes, I don't know if he's like dyeing his beard or what he's doing.
But the comb over has gotten even worse, man, because there's like, there's 14 strands of hair left now.
He should just give.
That's good enough.
Shave it or go rug.
Yeah, he does Tibbs not have
rug. Tibbs with a rug would be outstanding.
He does not. Yeah, that would be good.
I'd love him with a rug.
He does not have the head for the shave. He does not have the head for the.
No.
That would make the nose even more prominent. It would be a very. Because now you look at him and you don't say, boy, look at that beak. You say, look at that terrible comb over. So
the beard helps a little bit now, though. He grew the beard, and it actually distracts you a little bit more, I think, from the hair remaining on his head.
But how about the way he's changed his coaching style from since he was here? They're scoring 130 points a game. They're taking 43s.
Yeah.
I don't know what modernized him. I must have saw something because when he was here, they were basically shooting less threes than anybody in the league, right? Am I not wrong?
They were pretty
like
close,
low
20s. Yeah. And they didn't have the
20s.
Personnel either, but yeah.
No, he did, but I mean, of course, his problem here was he was considered a defensive specialist, and they played terrible defense, which is a problem. But maybe because you have terrible defensive players, I don't know. Hey, I didn't know that our guy Jaden McDaniels has a brother, Jalen, who just got traded to the 76ers, and he got 20 points the other night, and they're going to be playing against each other tonight. That'll be interesting.
Good morning. Now, we're still looking for a nickname. You know, people are trying to figure out what is Jaden McDaniels is one of the best defensive players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Jim Pete and Michael Grady trying to figure out what should we call him. So if you have any ideas for nicknames, someone suggested, because Kevin Durant has rejected the Slim Reaper nickname, that it's available. It's like a website domain that you can just go and buy, you know.
You got to score more than this kid, though, to be the Slim Reaper, don't you?
Yeah.
He has a good night once in a while and gets 20, 21. But, he's a really good asset on the team because he guards people and he can make a shot. But I don't think he's up to the Slim Reaper standard.
No, I like Jaden McDefense. I saw that on our YouTube channel.
That's not bad.
Jaden,
not
or just bad. McDefense, maybe. We just get rid of the first name.
Yeah. I'm big on like first names. Jaden. You know, that's good enough for me. I don't need some goofy.
You don't need the nickname?
Now I'm the guy that gave Rodney Carew Sir Rodney and stuff like that.
And Carl Willis.
The big train. I gave him the big train, yeah. He still is very happy about that. He says that, you know, it really vaulted his career, made people talk about something outside of his spitball.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
He's a great character, by the way. And did a fine job with the Tribe last year as their pitching coach, right?
Yes. So,
yeah, I mean, it's and meanwhile, our hockey team is just rolling along. And I got a question. I had this thought today, a question. I don't know. Is Ryan Reeves still playing?
Yeah.
Fourth
line. He's still on the fourth line?
Been scratched once since he got here.
So what's he played, 10 minutes?
Yeah, just fourth line. Yeah,
10 minutes.
Not 10.
There hasn't been much goonery from him, has there?
No, because guys won't for the most part fight him. I think he's been in 2 fights since he got here. One was spontaneous and one was against an Islander who was about his size.
He's like Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. He just
presence
alone is
in Calgary.
Well, who's he skating with then?
A Dewar and Mason Shaw.
So we just want that line to go out there and not get scored on, right? And then go back to the bench 40 seconds later. Is that right? Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
that doesn't sound like a line that's going to get a lot of duty when you get in the playoffs.
So, Patrick,
you get in the third period of a one-goal game, we might not see that line in the playoffs. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes. The more important question is this. In 2003, as I recall being on the beat with you, you went to every game that the Wild played. Yes. Are you prepared for a repeat of 2003 watching shutdown hockey with bad deadlines?
I believe I counted it up. I did 66 columns because you had to do all the earlies in 49 days or something like that on hockey, which topped my lifetime total, but it was fun. It was great with Jock. I don't know if it'll be as much fun. It would be as much fun with Evason, but it was great with Jock because every day he would be so creative in telling you nothing. it was wonderful, but he was hilarious, just a hilarious guy. And of course he had, and you know what this guy's going to have, Evason, the same as Jacques, the goalie controversy, not telling us who's going to play goal. 100%. Jacques had two goalies and he had a great time never telling us.
Yes.
And then sometimes they'd try to act and practice like, you know, usually in practice, the guy that's still out on the ice is the one that's not going to play, right? The guy that's taking the extra shots at the end, or the guys at the one end of the ice. You can tell in practice, but Jock didn't even want to give us that hint. He would mix that up so you wouldn't be sure who was going to play goalie that night. So that we got that, and that's a big deal. In the Twitter age, it's a big deal. Who can tweet out first who's going to be in the goal tonight from what they saw in practice?
Right? The best Jock was of that entire thing. I thought the best thing was at a press conference. I think it was when they were in the second round, about halfway through at home. And I love this. Jacques would sequester the players in a hotel for home games.
Yes.
And somebody said, you know what, why, you know, you're at home, blah, blah, blah. And he says, because if these players are at home, the wife says, got to take out the garbage, the baby poops, you got to change the diaper. I don't want any of that.
Mine with it was, I mentioned many times, was one day it's the third series probably we're playing, and it's been 35 days. I said, what is all this nonsense about not telling us who's going to play? What is all this silliness about no information? He says, no information? I give you too much information, he says. I always repeat that. I give you too much information. he was fun. It was fun. It was great. I remember being on a plane coming home from Vancouver when we knew we were going to go back there, and lining up, being on the cell phone on the plane, lining up $1,300 flights from to Vancouver and stuff. That was back in the day when they newspapers were still printing money back then.
But, meanwhile, I saw Chris Hein on the road after the L.A. Lakers game on Friday night. He tweeted out late that night, said, sorry, everyone, I won't be at the Kings game. Couldn't find a flight for under $700 or something.
Yeah, right.
And someone's like, doesn't the newspaper pay for your travel? He goes, yes, but within reason, Sacramento's a tough one.
And the other point of it is, West, with the modern deadlines they have now, you're writing for online. You know, that neither of those games on the West Coast got in the Sunday paper, you know, right? So, do we have two Saturday night or most
the Friday? Or the we had a Friday paper? Night and a Saturday night, yeah.
Yeah, whatever the deadlines were.
Yeah, and the Flames game.
They moved their deadlines up a half hour due to the pandemic. And they told the editors that they would go back when the pandemic was over. And I said, gentlemen, I have been in the newspaper business since 1968 in the Twin Cities, and nobody has ever taken away deadline time and gave any of it back. Once they get it, they don't give it back to you. So that's the case. So anyway, The funny thing is, I don't understand that, but this is inside newspaper, but we're printing so many less newspapers than we used to. Why do we have the early deadlines? What do I got to do with
it? We should do a roundtable and fix the media, the media industries one by one, okay? For newspapers, you guys get for TV. How about we don't tease? Coming up next, we're going to tell you if the Wolves hung on in Los Angeles tonight. Stick around.
Yes, yeah.
We already know. Tell us now.
Yeah. Tell us now. Okay. Hey, by the way, right here yesterday on Score North, our St. Thomas Tommies fought mightily against Oral Roberts, lost only by 5.
They had a lead. I watched the whole game. They had a lead late, like with maybe 6 minutes left, and then Oral Roberts has this 7'5" praying mantis that just...
Yes, right.
These poor St. Thomas kids are all my height, just trying to run around and find a layup somewhere.
They didn't lose a game in the league this year, I don't think.
No,
I think
undefeated.
Unbeaten in the league.
And I think they went to the, was it the Sweet 16?
A couple years ago.
They have like three or four starters left from their Sweet 16 run a couple
years
ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know... And the good news for them is if somebody gets hurt, they still got Oral's relatives can come in and heal them. That's the way that they used to work. My old man, Oral healed people. You know, he was one of the guys that big TV shows were big in the 60s, the Oral show. And at the end, he'd come up, and if you had a bad problem, he'd put his hands on you and heal them. My old man thought that was the funniest show on TV. He never missed it. He loved it. You know, he'd come up to you and go, heal!
Well, if Carl Anthony Towns doesn't come back in about 10 days from that calf injury,
right. Earl's got to have a grandson somewhere that could put hands on. He's going to play. How many games are they home for?
Just like right now?
Is this a home stand?
It's two, right? Two.
Okay. Brooklyn on Friday, and then they're back on the road.
Okay, maybe next time. Maybe next time they're home.
I don't think they only have like down, five Pat? Home games left, don't they?
Let's get to write that down from Pat since the Badgers screwed him.
I'm going to write it down that he will return to the lineup in the next four games.
Okay, so Philadelphia, Brooklyn at home, Atlanta on the road, Boston at home. Those are your next four.
At Boston. He will return by the Boston game here at the Lakers.
Because you're going to lose that game probably anyways, right? So you might as well try and work him in and see what happens.
Celtics are struggling right now. Celtics having some problems.
Yes, they've lost the triple-double overtime to Tibbs, and then they lost to Cleveland, and then they blew a 14-point lead against somebody last night. I can't remember.
Cleveland was
last night, yeah.
Cleveland's good, man. Ooh. That's J.B. Bickerstaff has got himself a hell of a good ball club. He's really a great kid. He was not kid anymore, but he was kind of a gopher bench warmer. Do you guys know him at all? Do you meet him, Phil?
I never met him. I remember watching him with the High Sox when he was.
He was I don't even know if he started much, but he's a smart kid, and he's had about three jobs, and he's. They did him a big favor when they went and got Donovan Mitchell. I'll tell you that. And that backcourt, him and Garland, are fantastic. It's a really good backcourt.
Yep.
For instance, it's a better backcourt than the Gophers have.
When
do our Gophers debut? Tomorrow, right? And they play Nebraska tomorrow? Big Ten tournament?
In the Big Ten tournament.
Big Ten.
Yeah,
first game.
Big Ten tournament. I was like,
and then they'll be done, thankfully.
Yeah. Well, we can check out of the hotel beforehand.
Put your luggage in the bus. We're going home anyway.
Save some money. Save some money. All right,
Pat. We'll talk to you.
What else? Joey Gallo piece today in the Star Tribune. Is Joey? What's with Joey? Joey's getting some singles. I don't know what's going on here.
Well,
Joey was 3-for-3 the other day.
They are moving an outfielder, as predicted, over to where the third baseman would be. But that leaves one outfielder between, like, right center to the left field foul pole. So if you can just hit fly balls to anywhere basically over the center fielder's head.
I was telling Judd they aren't going to ban that because they want something novel like that to attract people's attention, right? They like the fact that left field is going to be wide open and people will say, hey, did you see that? They didn't have a left fielder. So anything that makes you mildly curious about baseball, they're in favor of right now.
Yep.
And one more thing, our Loons Saturday night home game could be 12 inches of snow. Look out.
Gear up.
Look out.
They've done it before. They've done it before.
We'll freeze the opponent again. They'll all end up in the hospital, and we'll have the W.
Bring on Honduras. Come on, let's go.
That's right. All right, see you, Pat. All right, Royce Unchained, Score North YouTube channel, and the Royce Unchained podcast feed.